Okay, we're starting a new perek.
Two people that carried me.
Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Third perek. This perek is much more practical for us, at least, than the first two perekim that deal basically what you're allowed to do cholamed, what you're not allowed to do cholamed. This perek deals with the laws of avelus, of mourning. And also, it leads into Avelus, but it starts with Chol HaMoed also about haircuts and laundry. You know, the practical dinim of Chol HaMoed today are basically in this perek, and the practical dinim of Avelus is in this perek. So the Mishnah says like this: Elam Galchem
B'Moed. What's
the
title?
Title?
Yeah.
What do you mean title?
No, it says Hadron Alach
Mishahafah. Oh, that's just that we that couldn't be turned to it. Yeah. Okay, Elam Galchem B'Moed. Now, normally, Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to take a haircut. And the reason for this, we're going to learn in the Gemara, is because if you leave your haircuts for Chol HaMoed, you're going to go into Yom Tov with long hair. Like we learned during the week, we learned people don't wear Chol HaMoed. So what people used to do, they say, oh, I'm not going to take a haircut before Yom Tov, who has time? Chol HaMoed, I'll plenty of time, I'll go for a haircut. So the Chacham said, we don't want you going into Yom Tov with long hair, so they forbid people taking haircuts. But there are a few exceptions. What are the exceptions? People that couldn't take a haircut before Yom Tov. So Mishnah says like this: Elam Agachem B'Meid. These people are allowed to take haircuts in Chol HaMoed. Habam Medina Siyam. A guy comes from overseas, or basically out of the country, or Umbeis Hashivi, a guy who is released from prison, right, or captivity. Vayesim Ibeis Asur, a person who left prison. All these people basically didn't have the ability to take a haircut before Yom Tov because they were traveling or they were in prison or in captivity or whatever. Or, a person who became excommunicated and the Chachamim undid the ban. Now, guys who's excommunicated can't take a haircut because he's excommunicated from everybody. Can't give himself a haircut. So therefore, if they lifted the ban, now he became able to take a haircut. Or, v'chemi shenisho l'chochem v'hutter. If a guy made a vow, he's not going to take a haircut. And then he did hataras and darim. He went to the chochem to undo the vow. The chochem undoes the vow on Chol HaMoed. So he couldn't take a haircut before Yom Tov because he made a vow that he's not. Or, hanazir of nazir who finished his naziris. So then, obviously, he couldn't take a haircut before. Or Mitzayed, a leper, who's also not allowed to take a haircut. Mitumasi Latari, or this one goes with Mitzayed. Mitzayed, that goes out of his tumba to Tahara, so then he's able to take a haircut. So because he couldn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, these people are allowed to take a haircut in Chol HaMoed. Now it says, another din. What are the things we learned before in the Gemara? You're now to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. It's a malacha that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So he says, Ve'elam mechapsim b'meid. These people are the ones that are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Again, it's basically the same people. Abam Medina Sayyam, a guy comes from overseas. He didn't have a laundromat there, whatever. Beis HaShivi, a guy who leaves from captivity. Or Hayetim Beis HaSurim, a guy who came out of prison. Umanuda, or a person who was excommunicated, so they can't launder the clothing either. Shatir lechacham, that the chachamim released him from the ban. Or misha nishal lechacham v'hutir, if a guy made a vow that he's not going to do laundry, and then, you know, that he came to the chacham to undo the vow, and now he can. These are the same things from before, but now he says other things. Mipachas yadayim, hand towels. Because they dirty very quickly, and you need them for Yom Tov. In other words, like this. Again, the concept of laundry is the same thing. The Chum didn't want people spending Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, doing laundry. So they said, you're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Why? Then people were forced to do it before Yom Tov. But sometimes, you could do it before Yom Tov, but you're still not going to have enough. Like hand towels, or mitpachas asfafim, barber's cloths, you know, the shmatas the barbers put around the people, or mitpachas asfag, bath towels, those are allowed to be laundered. Why? because there's so many of them, and they have to be repeatedly washed. So therefore the Chacham said, we're not afraid that you didn't do it before Yom Tov, because even if you did do it before Yom Tov, you're going to need to do it again. Then it says also, Hazavim v'azavim v'anidus v'yoldus, zavim and zavim, these tummy of the body, or women during your menstrual cycle, or women who give birth, because they dirty their clothing a lot. Or as the Gemara is going to say later, diapers. You know, when they used to have cloth diapers. All these things you're allowed to wash in Chol HaMoed. V'chol ha'elim mitumah l'tara, and everybody, whoever went out from tumah to tara, that the Torah says you need to put the clothing into the mikveh. Ha'elim mitarim, these people are allowed to do laundry during Chol HaMoed. V'shar chol adam asurim, but everybody else is forbidden. Okay? So the Gemara says basically a very simple rule. If you were able to do it before Yom Tov and you didn't, you're not allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed. If you couldn't do it before Yom Tov, then you're allowed to do it Chol HaMoed. Okay?
Can I ask, why does it use the word Sha'ar? Sha'ar Chol Adam.
What should it use?
Just say Chol Adam.
It's just common Hebrew, I guess. I don't know. It's Mishnah Hebrew.
What's added by adding that word?
Sha'ar is the remaining, so to speak. The remainder, the remaining, the other.
And the, everybody except these people.
Oh, I see. So that's what the word is. Okay,
so now the Gemara asks, we just got through saying that all the other people cannot launder during Chol HaMoed to take haircuts. So the Gemara says, my time asurim. Why not? Why is it prohibited to do laundry or to do haircuts during Chol HaMoed? Why is it forbidden? So the Gemara answers, because it's now we learned like this. In the Mishnah it says, Anshi Mishmar, the men of the Mishmar. I'll explain in a second. Va'anshi Maimid, and the people from the Maimid, said like this. They had shifts of Kayanim and Leviim working in the Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel HaNavi and David HaMelech divided the Kayanim and Leviim into 24 shifts. Okay? Basically, it worked out that each Kayan worked 2 weeks a year. Because Yom Tov, everybody worked. So there was a week, okay, so then now we say in Davening, Kayanim Bavidosim, Leviim Beduchonim, Yisroel B'mamodim. So the Gemara says like this, when a person brings a carbon, you need to be there. You bring a carbon, you need to be there. So every day they brought communal karbanis. So the Gemara said, it's only right that Jews should be there when they brought the carbon. So not only did they divide up Kayanim and Leviim, they divided up Yisraelim also. Okay? Now, the din was, you can't have a million Jews going to the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. So the Gemara says like this, a few people went to the Beis HaMikdash for that week, and the rest of the Jews from that group, jury selection, from that group, they gathered that week to the shuls, they fasted, they had to learn, they had to daven, they did a whole procedure. So the Gemara says like this, the Kayanim from the shift, that's called the Mishmar, Kayanim and Leviim.
Question for you.
What?
I mean, if you were like a regular Jew, like not a Kohen Levi, you couldn't just go to anytime you want to the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
You could go anytime you want.
You can go to 770 whenever you want.
I know that. But it's Jerusalem in the old days. In the old days.
Even then they let.
But what are you saying that you can have a Mikdash?
A guy could bring a carbon whenever he wants.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying they brought the communal sacrifices.
Yeah.
The carbon in the morning, carbon in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So, like he uses here.
But he said
there's
a million Jews.
The Torah requires the owner of a sacrifice to be present in the temple during its offering. Theoretically, every Jew should be present for the offering of the daily sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Okay? But they couldn't do that. So it says like this. They divided into 24 groups. Just the Kohanim and Levim were divided into 24 groups. They were called Maimed. They served 1 week in rotation. Part of the group goes to the Beis HaMikdash as representatives of the rest, and the other fast and conduct special prayers in their own towns.
Oh,
That was the Mamodas. Now, the Chacham instituted, they didn't want Kayanim and Levim, or Yisraelim for that matter, coming with long hair to the Beis HaMikdash. So they institute, they have to take haircuts before. So this is what the Mishnah says. Anshi Mishma, the men of the Gmini Kayanim Levim as that week. Or Anshi Maimid, the men of the Maimid, the Yisraelim, Asurim Lechsaper Lechapesh, cannot take the haircuts or laundry the week of their service. Okay, because again, they didn't want him coming into the Beis HaMikdash with long hair and dirty clothing and everything. Bachamishi, but on Thursday of their week, they're allowed to wash because of Kavod Shabbos. In other words, the Gemara says like this. Friday, people were busy cooking. So remember, didn't have stores. You had to take out Shabbos meals. Okay, they had to make their own challah and everything. They had to make themselves. Friday, Ezra, interesting, the Gemara says Ezra made a takona that you have to do laundry on Thursday. Why? That people should have time Friday to cook and bake for Shabbos. Nowadays, it doesn't apply because you have a washing machine. I mean, you don't stand by the river and wash clothing. But Thursday, you're allowed to. So the Gemara says, "V'amr Rabbi Bar Bachanan and Rabbi Lazar." Rabbi Bar Bachanan says, "Name Rabbi Lazar, my time. Why are they forbidden to take haircuts during the week?" So it says, "Kadesh Yechadim Sulem Mishmartam," that they shouldn't go into their work Cheminovalim with despicable long hair. So the same thing, the Gemara says, Hachanami, the same thing by Chol HaMoed. Why did the Chachamim forbid you to take a haircut or to do laundry on Chol HaMoed? That they shouldn't go into the Yom Tov with long hair. So now the Gemara is just comparing Chol HaMoed to working in the Beis HaMikdash. By the Beis HaMikdash, we find clearly, it says that the reason that they shouldn't come to the job with long hair. So the same thing the Chacham said, Chol HaMoed, we don't want you going into Yom Tov with long hair, with dirty clothing, so you have to do it before. But this explains also, therefore those people that couldn't do it before, are allowed to do it, Chol HaMoed. To explain, by the way, that's why the minig is in many places that an upsharonish, a kid's birthday is Chol HaMoed Sukkos. He turns 3 Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So the din is, you'll have to make an upsharonish Chol HaMoed Sukkos. You don't take care because Chol HaMoed, but you couldn't do it before. He wasn't 3 yet. And the Mishnah says, if you weren't able to do it before, Pesach he can because of the Omer. That's a different story. You know, because you don't take care because during the Omer. But Sukkos, technically, you could do an upsharonish because the kid couldn't do it before. What happens, by the way, if his birthday was before Sukkos? Then you're not allowed to do an upsharonish during Sukkos because you could have done it before. But this is based on what the Gemara is saying here.
Why is long hair considered despicable?
Because it is. No, the Gemara is b'chlal. The Gemara says in Hilchos Tefillin also, Shechinah says, long hair is called despicable. The question, what is long hair? That's a different shayla. How long is long hair? But the Gemara's concept is, if a person needs a haircut, that's called long hair.
He does not think he needs a haircut.
You have to ask his mother. He doesn't think he needs a long haircut, yeah? Okay, now the Gemara says, "Boy, Rab Zeira asked the shayla. What happens if a guy got busy with personal needs
before Yom Tov?
And he gives an example. Boy, Rab Zeira asked, "Of the le'aveda erev regel, a guy lost an expensive object before Yom Tov, and he's busy looking for it." So the bottom line is, he didn't have time before Yom Tov to take a haircut. Do we permit him or don't we permit him? The shaila is, do we say, kiven the onus, it was unavoidable? No, not with something that he planned to lose. You know, everything else, you have to plan accordingly. Here, the guy lost something erev Sukkos. He didn't expect to lose it, so he got busy. He was planning to take a haircut. He got busy, so now the Shah is going to take a haircut. So there's two ways of looking at it, like this. Do we say, Kivan, the honest, the fact that he was an accident, mutter, he's allowed to do it. He could take a haircut, cholamayt. Do we say, Kivan, the mochachemosa, it's not evident to others, la, he's not allowed to. Meaning, what are people going to think? People are not going to know he lost something. People are not going to know he's busy. People are going to see him taking a haircut cholamayt. So the Rishonim asks, how about a guy coming overseas? So that the Gemara said, people know about that. You know, a guy came to the shtetl from overseas, everybody knew he was away, everybody knew he came back. But the Gemara is interesting shaila. The Gemara says, do we not allow him to take a haircut, even though really, legitimately, he should be able to take a haircut because he was busy? But the fact that people will look at it and think that this guy's taking a haircut, so can I. Are we afraid of that or not? So that's what I'm saying, Shaila. So Amar Abaye answered him with a quote. I'll explain the quote in a second. Yemo, people will say, Kol ha-sriken ha-surim, if all sriken are forbidden, sriken baitis mutarim, the sriken baitis are allowed. What is this talking about? He says, they used to make matzahs with decorative figures. That was called sirukin. Sirukin means, it says, to prescribed, they were forbidden to use, various decorative figures have been etched on Pesach. Why did the Chachamim forbid it? Because it took time to make the designs on the dough. And by that time, the dough might become chametz. So the Chachamim forbid making decorations on the matzah. This guy Baisus, a baker, and he said, he figured out you can make a design on the matzah with a stamp. So all you had to do was stamp it, and it went quick. Okay? The Chachamim said, you still can't. Why? Because not everybody knows about the stamp. People are going to see decorative figures on the matzah. People are going to do it. So the Chachamim said, the Chachamim, when Baisus came up with this suggestion, so people, the Chachamim said to him an expression, oh, everybody's is forbidden and Baisus is allowed. You can't do it. Either it's all or none. You know, you can't make exceptions to the rule. So therefore, the Abai's answer basically is, Rabbi Zayda's question was, normally we learned if you can't take a haircut before Chol HaMoed, you can take it on Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Zayda asked, what happens if a guy lost something? So Abai said to him, what are you talking about? People know that. You can't start making exceptions to the rule, this guy yes and this guy no. If it's no, it's no. If it's yes, it's yes. So he brings down at the bottom, interesting. So the Ritva asks, when the Rishonim, if we're concerned about the general population will not know, how does our Mishnah allow certain cases to take haircuts? So he answers, those were publicized and everybody knew about them. Like we said before, everybody knew about them. But a private guy lost an article, how is people going to know? And therefore the answer is no. So the Gemara asks a question again. He asks a question on Abaye. Said it then later, call me Shane Cholak Echot, if a guy has only one shirt, Mut Lachabzi Bechalishamed, you can launder it cholamate. So Hasan Nami, how do you let them? People are gonna say, call Siddiq and Asurin and Siddiqa Baisis Mutadim. Again, you're making exceptional cases. If you're telling me no means no, so how could the Gemara say that if a guy has only one shirt, he can wash it Chol HaMoed? People are going to not know that. People know he has only one shirt. Bottom line, what are people going to see? He's washing his clothing. They're going to think you're allowed to wash clothing on Chol HaMoed. So how do you let such a thing happen? So the Gemara answers, Ha'itmer Allah, over there is a different story. Why is it different? Because Amar Mabaravashi Izuri Mechia Cholov. The belt shows that he has only one shirt. Meaning like this. He says, if a guy had only one shirt, yeah, was he naked during the laundry time? So he said what he used to do is, he had some outer garment, and then he would gird the cloak with a belt to prevent it from opening while he was working. The guy was washing his one shirt, so he used to take a regular shmata and wear a belt around his waist that it shouldn't open. So when people saw a guy washing clothes with a belt, they all knew that he had only one shirt. So what the Gemara is answering is, you know why you could wash your shirt if you only have one shirt? People are going to make a mistake. Nobody's going to make a mistake. Everybody knows that he has one shirt. Because the way he does it, everybody sees with the belt that he has only one shirt. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Boy, Ravashi Masna." Ravashi taught the Gemara differently. That it was a different question. The way our Gemara said the question was, Rav Zeira asked, if an individual lost an article, is he allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed or not? And the Gemara's answer was no. Okay? But now, by Rav Zeira asked a different question. Ulman Shavda Le'aveda Erev Regal, if an expert, craftsman, here we call that teasing, lost an object on the festival eve, meaning as follows. He is a public figure. Everybody saw that he was looking for the ring. Let's say. So he says, Mao, do we say? Kivin the Umen Hu. The guy, in fact, the guy's a craftsman. Mocha Milsa, everybody knows that he couldn't do it before Yom Tiv. Because all his clients saw. It's not an individual anymore. It's a public figure that everybody sees he was looking for a thing. So they understand that the reason why he didn't take a haircut is because he was busy. Or do we say, Dilma, kiven de lemucha milsa kihanach? It's not as evident as the cases our Mishnah mentions, like coming overseas, coming from prison or something like that. So maybe it's not permitted. And the Gemara says, Teiku, no. I mean, we don't know. No answer. So what's the halacha? Somebody shain him right, no. Somebody shain him right, yes. What's the argument over here? The Gemara answers, we don't know. Mashiach, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi will come and answer the question. That's what Teiku means. Answered Mashiach, yeah, Eliyahu HaNavi will answer the question. But somebody shain him said like this. The Gemara doesn't know, so the answer is no. Other Shane, this is only rabbinic. It's only rabbinically forbidden to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. The Torah doesn't say you can't take a haircut Chol HaMoed. The Chachamim came and they said you're not allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed because we want you to take a haircut before Yom Tov. And a rabbinic thing, you're lenient. Because that's the rule. When there's a biblical doubt, you're strict. When there's a rabbinic doubt, you're lenient. So somebody Shane him over here hold that you're not allowed to. And somebody shouldn't hold, you would be allowed
to. Is it possible that Yom Chamishi one could get haircut lichvat Shabbos on Chol HaMoed?
No. No. Because over here is a different reason.
Because these guys work in Beis Hamikdash or...
I'll give you an example where the supplies in practical halacha. Are you allowed to cut your nails Chol HaMoed?
I don't know. Usually not.
No. So you know what halacha says? If you cut him before Yom Tov, and they grew back, you can cut him for the last days. But if you didn't cut him before, then you're not allowed to cut him Chol HaMoed.
How about bite your nails?
Only Shabbos. No, you understand that this, again, along the same lines of logic. If you cut your nails before Yom Tov, what are you supposed to do? They grew back. You know. But nails... it's not as important as here. In fact, there's an interesting thing in Hilchos Shabbos about Friday. It says, Friday you should cut your nails. And it says in Shkorah, but your hair only if it's long. You don't find an obligation to take your haircut every week. Only a king took every day. Kohen Gadol took once a week. But, you know, there's no obligation to take, but cutting nails, then you have to cut your nails. So again, what's the reason for that? Because nails grow faster than hair as far as cutting time. People cut their nails more often than they cut the hair. So hair, if you cut it before Yom Tov, there's no need to cut it during Yom Tov. But nails is possibly cut it. But if you didn't cut your nails before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cut them. Cholomed.
And to cut before Yom Tov, like this on Thursday, consider before Yom Tov, right? Like,
yeah.
Recently.
They anyway don't start really growing until the third day. Okay. Now the Gemara continues and says like this. It said in the Mishnah that if somebody comes from Medina Sayyam, if somebody came from overseas, they're allowed to take a haircut cholomayt. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Masnis in the lake of Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Tanya will learn to the Braise, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Habam in Medina Sayyam, if somebody comes home from overseas, in middle of cholomayt, lo yigalech, is not allowed to take a haircut cholomayt. Why? Neshayot shle b'shuz, because nobody told him to leave. Who told him to leave? In other words, if the guy was excommunicated, the guy was in jail, he didn't have control. So therefore, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to take a haircut. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, even if you come overseas, you could also take a haircut. And call him mate. Rabbi Yehuda says, why? Who told him to leave overseas? He went over on his own. He went off as on his own. He's negligent for not working it out in a way that he could take a haircut before Yom Tov, and therefore the Yehuda says he cannot take a haircut cholamayt. So seemingly the Gemara says, our Mishnah cannot go like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds you cannot take a haircut if you come from overseas, and our Mishnah says clearly you could. So the Gemara says like this. Let us analyze this thing. The pearl, so we established as an argument between our Mishnah, which is the Chachamim, they say, you come from overseas, you could take a haircut. Rav Yehuda holds, you come from overseas, you cannot take a haircut. So Rav clarifies the halacha, and he says like this. Loshut, if the guy left the country on a roaming pleasure trip, Divrei HaKoel Asur. This is what Rava learns. Everybody says such a guy cannot take a haircut when he comes back. You went for pleasure trip, no haircut. Lemezainus, if he went for Parnasa, he went an overseas trip, mamash, to make a living. Divrei HaKoel Mutar. Everybody holds he could. Because again, it wasn't his fault. Aye, where's there an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? The Chacham say you could, and the abuser says he can't. He says, a guy who's rich went overseas to make more money. And that's not the necessities. The Gemara says like this. If the guy went to enjoy himself, everybody says you come back, you cannot take a haircut. If you push one to make a living, to put bread on your table, everybody says it's not your fault, you can come back, take a haircut. What happens though, if a guy went on a business trip, but not for bare necessities, for more money. So the Chachamim, what's the argument? Mar medamale koloshut. Rabbi Yehuda likens this type of trip to a pleasure trip, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says he cannot take a haircut. Oman the Chachamim, medamale kemezenis, is considered more like a necessity, and therefore you're allowed. When the guy asks the shayla by the Rav will tell him if he could or not. In the olden times, in the shtetl, halacha says, like more schitim, not for Pesach, the Rav taxed every person based on what that person could afford. I don't know if you saw the financials or the tax returns, but the Rav would say, you have to give $1,000, you have to give $10, whatever it was. The Rav, you know, would do well, you know.
Why would he do that tax reform?
Because most chitim, certain tzedakahs are everybody's equal, and certain tzedakah is because the Gemara uses the expression, a rich man that brings a poor man's carbon did not fulfill their obligation. Yeah, machzis the shekel, everybody's equal, nobody more, nobody less. But certain things, so the Gemara's, this is the Gemara's question over here: if a guy goes for a pleasure trip, he can't come back home and take a haircut. By the way, speaking, the guy came back Chol HaMoed. If he came back before Yom Tov, there's no heter that the guy's going to take a haircut. Even if the guy got out of prison before Yom Tov, he can't take a haircut. Because he should have done it before Yom Tov. We're speaking here, he came from overseas in Chol HaMoed, he'd get out of prison Chol HaMoed and all that. Yeah.
Obviously, if he came at 6 o'clock.
Okay. You know, speaking, when then, if there was time or not. So the Gemara is...
I don't understand the point that you just made. What is... He comes back... Okay, he comes back home, I understand what you mean. Before Yom Tov, did you
say? No, but I'm saying in all these cases, if the guy came back out of Yom Tov, in the morning, he's not to take a haircut Chol HaMoed.
Oh, because he could have done it.
Yeah. If he got out of prison, out of Yom Tov in the morning, this halacha is, he got out of prison Chol HaMoed, he came from overseas, Chol HaMoed, whatever it is. So, if he went for a pleasure trip, everybody says you have no right to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. If he went for bare necessities, business, that he needs the money, so then he's allowed to. Is that what, for extra profit? So the Rabbi Yehuda holds he cannot take a haircut, because you, it's similar to pleasure trip. And the Chachamim hold, no, in this case you, because you're still going for a parnasa. So it's considered as if you went for mezainis. Okay, so this is what Rava said. So Meisei the Gemara says, I have a question on Rava. He says, Amr Rabbi, Rabbi said the following statement. Nirin Devrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so what's the halacha? Rabbi Yehuda says no haircut coming from overseas, and Chacham says yes. So Rabbi says the following statement. It appears like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda is right. Kshayotze Shalei Beshus, when he went out without permission. Meaning, he didn't have to go. He just left. Then Rabbi says, you know, in my opinion, Rabbi Yehuda is right. V'divre Chachamim, but at the same time, I think the Chachamim are right. Kshayotze Beshus, when he was forced to go. Okay? This is a statement Rabbi said. And the one who's going to lie is that according to Rava, this statement doesn't make sense. Rabbi says the following statement. In my opinion, he says, Rabbi Yehuda is right when you voluntarily left, and the Chachamim are right when you had to go. So Gemara says like this, Maishalei Bishus, what do you mean the guy went without authority? Ile Maloshut, if you tell me he went pleasure trip, then everybody says you're not allowed to. There's no machlaikis. But Ahmed, you just got through saying, Divrei HaKol Asur. Everybody says no. Ella, so you must say, means he went for food, mezainis. But you just got through saying, Divrei HaKol Mutar. That everybody holds you allowed to.
Hi.
Can I help you?
We're looking for the Kabbalah session.
Wrong place. Two blocks down.
That way?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because they're looking for
Madonna. Madonna's coming.
They're looking for Kabul. So it says, El Pshita. So then, what does it mean? That they're going Laharvicha. In other words, like this. What do you mean? What does Rebbe say when they went out Rishus? Does it mean pleasure trip? Everybody says no. You went for food? Everybody says yes. So what does it mean? So we must say that it means he went out to make more money. So he says, Amos Sefer, look at the end of the Braisa. It says in the end of the Braisa, Rabbi said, Nirin divrei chachamim kshiyotze b'shus. But when he went out with permission, he's allowed to. So he said, my b'shus, what does permission mean? Ilei melimizein doesn't mean for food, for necessities. You just got to think everybody said you are allowed to. Elu you must say, larvicha. That what does it mean? He went out to make more money. But you just said, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says no. And Rabbi says Rabbi Yehuda is right. So how could he say the Chachamim are right if it means the same thing? In other words, the Gemara is asking a very simple question. Rav's statement does not allow Rabbi to say what he said. Rabbi said, sometimes Rabbi Yehuda is right, sometimes the Chachamim are right. Now, you just got to saying, in one case, everybody says yes. In one case, everybody says no. And there's only one case they're arguing in. When you're going for extra money. So how could Rebbe say, no, sometimes he's right, sometimes he's right. When's the sometimes? There is no sometimes. Either you say everybody says you're allowed to, if you're forced to go. If you're going for a pleasure trip, everybody says no. They're only arguing in one case. When you're going to make extra money. One says yes, one says no. The Buddha says you're not allowed to, Chacham says you're allowed to. So how could Rabbi come along and say, sometimes he's right, sometimes he's right. When is the sometimes? They always all agree.
Isn't it that if you liken it to, he goes for work, to bring money home, so then he's allowed. And if he goes, and if you look at it as if he just goes to make another billion, so it's like a pleasure trip.
So then, how could you say sometimes Rabbi Yehuda is right and sometimes Rabbanan are right? What's that case? The problem is there's only three possibilities: forced to go, meaning have to go, pleasure trip, or in between. Now, pleasure trip, everybody says no. Forced, everybody says yes. So there's only one case left. To make a profit. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says no, Chum say yes. So how can that case be sometimes Rabbi's right, and Rabbi Yehuda Nossi's right, Rabbi Yehuda's right, and sometimes Chum are right?
If each person goes, if he doesn't go, he loses money.
The Gemara is not discussing that.
Who's using this terminology, Birshut? Whose word is it?
The Gemara's.
The
Gemara's?
Right. What does it exactly
mean? But that's what the Gemara's trying to figure out.
So that's the whole key, right?
Right. But according to Rava's explanation of the Mishnah, the word Rishus and that Rishus doesn't make sense. Because according to Rebbe, there's four categories. The way Rava learns. Yes, everybody. No, everybody. Right? And another two cases, that one says yes and one says no, and one time he's right, one time he's right. But according to Rava, there's no such four cases, there's only three cases. Yes, no, and one argument. See, Rabbi can't say, sometimes he's right, sometimes he's right. I mean, it doesn't make sense. How do you have four cases?
Maybe sometimes you're allowed to make that extra profit, sometimes you're not. Maybe that's what the argument is.
But that's not the expression, reshus or shlei reshus. What does it mean? Well, the truth is, the way the Gemara is going to answer it, it's stretching it, basically, like everybody's saying, but it's not straight, you know what I mean? It's not... The Gemara says, "Hachi kama." The Gemara answers like this. This is how you answer it. What Rebbe meant to say is as follows: Nidin divrei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbanan. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda appears correct to the Rabbanan when you went out without permission. He means like this: the rabbis agree, the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda when you didn't have to go. Umayni, when is that? Loshed for pleasure trips. Why? Shafilu chacham lenach kolal of elo ravicha. The chacham only argue when it's talking about a rich man making more money. Avaloshut, but to go pleasure trips, made the chacham agree to Rabbi Yehuda that he can't take a haircut. And then he says, v'nir and divir rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda, and the chachamim agree, I mean Rabbi Yehuda and the chacham would both agree, kshiyatze b'shuz, when he went out, when he had to. When is that? When he went to Mezainis, Shafilu Rabbi Yehuda leinachu aleim el ravich, because he only argued when it was a question of making more money. When he wanted to make more money. In other words, the Gemara says that's what they meant. That's what Rabbi said. It means like this: the Chachamim say Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to take care of is right if it was a pleasure trip. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Chachamim are right if you have to go. So where is the argument left? If you didn't have to go, but it wasn't a pleasure trip. Meaning, you had to go make extra money. You had to go make extra money, so then that's the story. Rabbi Yehuda holds no, Chachamim hold yes.
Could be in today's situation that he goes to France on business and he also visits the museums and this and this. So is it business or is it personal or is it for there?
No. If he didn't go on business, would he go visit the museums? No. So it's business. You know what I mean? If a guy wouldn't go just to visit, he happens to be on business, where he has a few spare time, he goes to a museum. That's not called a pleasure trip. Because he wouldn't have gone there just to visit the museums.
Government allows for that.
Exactly.
He does. Yeah, and tax write-offs, yeah.
Or maybe he went to the museums, and he just want to...
That also works. Depends which ones. Okay. Okay, now Shmuel gives another exception to the rule. And this is a case, I don't know of such cases. Amar Shmuel, katan anelid b'mayid, a baby that was born cholamayid with very long hair, Mutter the Galer Bermaid, you can cut the hair on Cholamayid.
Not a boy or girl?
Well, it was not upshanish, whatever. But he said, Shmuel speaks of an infant that was born with long hair that distresses the kid. I mean, it's a strange case.
Distresses the people.
Huh?
Distresses the people.
No, but I mean, a kid born, how much hair can he have already? Even Ace of them.
Some kids are really hairy.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, that's where Rashi learns it. It hurts the kid, not the parents, Rashi says. I'm a tzarei. It hurts the kid, so then you could do it. Oh, and he says, why? He says, "She'ein loch beis asudim gadol mizeh." There's no greater prison than the mother's womb. In other words, this is not any worse than a person getting out of prison that he can take a haircut. And what it means is, this is more impossible to cut the kid's hair before they're born than in jail. In jail, maybe it might be possible to cut the hair. In the womb, it's impossible to cut the hair. Now, the Gemara says, but what does Shmuel say? When was the kid born? B'mayit. What happened if he'd be born before Cholamayit? No. Right? So Gemara says, B'mayit in. You could only do it if the kid was born on Cholamayit, because you couldn't cut the hair before. But if the kid was born beforehand, lo, you're not allowed to cut the hair. I mean, that's you infer from Shmuel's din. Shmuel's saying basically, If he was born Cholameid because he couldn't cut it before, you're allowed to cut a Cholameid. But if not, you're not allowed to.
The kid doesn't have its own volition.
You're talking about the parents, no?
So, should be able to cut it?
No.
It's for the good of the kid. It's bothering the kid itself.
No, the Mephoshim, the Ritva says right here, over here right away, that if you're talking about medical stories, it's a different story. Here we're talking about it's uncomfortable for the kid. The Isser is, well, the Gemara is going to ask an interesting question now, because the Gemara is going to liken Chol HaMoed to the laws of mourning. And let me just give you a sneak preview. There's no avelus by a kid. It's a very interesting halacha. A kid under Bar Bas Mitzvah, God forbid, loses a parent or brother, sister, there's no avelus by kids. To go to school, the Gemara says you tear the clothing that they should feel a little sad. But there's no chinuch in the laws of avelus.
Kaddish,
yeah, Kaddish is not avelus.
He doesn't mourn?
No. There's no din of shiva. I'm sure the kid cried, but I'm saying there's no din of shiva, shleishim, 12 months. There is no din of avelus by a kid.
Why
Kaddish? Kaddish has nothing to do with avelus. Kaddish is for the benefit of the deceased. There's two aspects, and this is important because, again, like I said, El Magachim deals a lot with the laws of avelus and all that. The concept of, in fact, I was there then when it happened. The Rebbe's brother-in-law, the Shag, was sitting shiva, and the Rebbe went up to be Menachem Avil. So the Rebbe went, when all the Bochum were by supper, because the Rebbe didn't want to cry, but some guys are still hanging around there. So, and we went upstairs. So the Shag asked the Rebbe the following question. Was this whole concept of mourning, if you believe in divine providence, when Hashem does it's for good, so what's the concept of mourning? Okay? So the Rebbe answered them, Avelus is not for the deceased. The concept of mourning is like Shema Melech, Achayitin Alibay, that the person who's alive has to realize that just like this person died, they're also not going to live forever. So they should become better. Avelus is not for the deceased. Avelus is for the people that are alive. Kaddish is for the benefit of the deceased. Nothing to do with them.
You were saying they started Kaddish for the kids.
For the kids primarily, yeah.
So the kids couldn't do anything else.
Right. So Kaddish has nothing to do with Avelus.
Next day the kid goes to school?
Yeah. In fact, that's what they do. That the kids are going to stay home all day and go crazy and make everybody else crazy.
I thought in another context you had said that there were some aspects of Avelus that were had to do with Kabbalah. And that it was not just for the Avelus.
Kaddish is more for Kavod.
Is the issue of cutting hair with Sphira?
No. Let's see. The Gemara's conclusion now is they infer from Shmuel's din that you can only do it if the kid was born on Chol HaMoed. Then you could give a haircut. If the kid was born before Chol HaMoed, then you can't. Okay? So most of Rapinchas is not a very common name in the Gemara. Rapinchas has the Shaila, Kol Eilu Shamra Mota Legalech Bameid. All those people that are allowed to cut hair on Chol HaMoed, Mota Legalech Bameyavli, are allowed to cut it during their mourning period. Mourning period is about the 30-day period, Shleishim. So from here you infer, what did Rapinchas say? It says in the Braise, whoever can take a haircut Chol HaMoed can take a haircut during Avelus. Which means, those that are not allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed cannot take a haircut during Avelus, right? So the question is, for e amrit cotton is be plukta, if you're going to say there's a distinction by a kid between before Chol HaMoed, if he's born, or after Chol HaMoed, nims is avelus nehagis be cotton. It comes out that you can't give a kid a haircut during Avelus, which means there's Avelus by a kid. But Tanya, but we just learned, Mekaren Lekotten, you only tear the garment for the kid, Agmas Nefesh, for grief, but not because the kid's a mourner. In other words, Gemara asks a very simple question. According to Shmuel, if a kid was born before Chol Yom Tov, the baby cannot be given a haircut Chol HaMoed. Right? That's what Shmuel said. Which means, if he cannot take a haircut Chol HaMoed, the Braisa says, you can't take a haircut during Avelus. But a kid has no Avelus. Braisa says a statement. No exceptions. Whoever can take a haircut Chol HaMoed could take a haircut during Avelus. Whoever cannot take a haircut during Chol HaMoed cannot take a haircut during Avelus. Now, according to Shmuel, if the kid was born before Yom Tov, we infer from Shmuel that he cannot take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Right? Based on that, that kid cannot take a haircut during Avelus. But that's not true. A kid could take a haircut during Avelus. There's no Avelus by a kid. Ravashi says like this. Mik Tani Ha'asurim. Does the Braisa say those that are prohibited are... Is that what the Braisa says? The Braisa is speaking there generally. Yesh mehem asur v'yesh mehem mutter. Some may, some cannot. In other words, Ravashi says the Braisa doesn't mean a statement. Whoever can take a haircut, Chol HaMoed can take a haircut of Avelus. And the opposite. He says, no, that's not true. If you could take a haircut Chol HaMoed, you could take a haircut during Avelus. The reverse is not necessarily true. There are people that cannot take a haircut Chol HaMoed, but they could take a haircut during Avelus. Who? A kid.
And one who came from overseas, or one... But was...
They could take a haircut during Avelus.
During the 30 days?
Yeah. That's what the Braisa says.
I know. It seems strange to me, but if that's the law, that's the law. I mean,
why would they?
Came from jail or...
Here. This is what Rashi says. Look, during the 30-day mourning period, one may not cut his hair. However, if the mourning period commences immediately after the mourner has one of the experiences described in our Mishnah, like he became a mourner from returning overseas, he may cut his hair. Today it's not done. I mean, but...
It looks funny now.
It looks funny, but if he does...
Yeah.
Right. That's why...
It's even worse, because according to Halacha, for a parent, you can't take a haircut for 3 months. Or until your friend screams at you.
For what?
But, take a haircut.
For what?
If a parent passes away.
Oh.
For all other relatives, after Shleishim, there's no... It's over. Listen to music, you can go to weddings. For a parent, it's a year.
Wait a minute. You can't listen to music if you after 30 days?
For whom?
You just said, didn't
a
you?
A parent.
Let's say my father passed away 3 years ago. I'm just saying, I couldn't do anything.
For a year?
Yeah.
But all other relatives?
Sister or whatever.
Sister, brother, child. The only relatives which are 12 months mourning is parents.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody else is 30 days. Even God forbid, if a parent loses a child, it's only 30 days. Yeah. And then it's over. That's it. But during that 30 days, you can't take a haircut. By a parent, the halacha is it's not 30 days, it's more. Either gimel chadashim, that means if a guy didn't take a haircut, let's say, for a bunch of months before, and then the parent passes away, you know, unless you get ahead to somebody screams at you, you know, but you end up with very long hair. Now the Gemara just has a different version of what we asked. Now the Gemara is going to repeat the same Gemara, but now it's a question and answer, it's a statement and a proof. Master Hach learns the whole thing differently. That before we said, Shmuel says only if the kid was born Chol HaMoed can he take a haircut. But before not. Now the Gemara changed a different version. That Shmuel said, a kid who was born could take a haircut Chol HaMoed, Leishno Neilid B'Meid, Leishno Neilid Mikor. It doesn't matter if he was born earlier or later, a kid could always take a haircut. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Pinchas, Rav Pinchas says, instead of before the Gemara asked, this is a question. But this is a statement. Afan Amamin Tanina, we taka learned it, because it says, Kol Eilu Shammat Al-Gech B'Meir, whoever can take a haircut Meir, can take a haircut during Avelis. Ho Asur Nagalach B'Meir, but if you forbid to take a haircut on Yom Tif, Asur Nagalach B'Meir, but he can't take a haircut during Avelis. So he says, I Amar Katan Asur, but it is a proof to Shmuel. That you're allowed to. Because if you say a cotton not allowed to, then there's no avail, then you're making availus by a kid. And that's not true. Vitanya, we learn, Mekan the company Agmas Nefesh. So I'm in Avashi, Gemara says, not a proof. Now, before the Gemara asked it as a question, Avashi answered it. This way, the Gemara brought a proof, and Avashi refuted the proof. Miktani or Asuna doesn't say it's forbidden. Dil Mayashmi and also some are permissible, some are forbidden, I mean. V'yashmei amut, and some of them are permissible, meaning we're not making a blanket statement that if you can't do it here, you can't do it here. What the Gemara, what the Mishnah saying, Rav Ashi says is, like we said before, if you're allowed to take a haircut, Chol HaMoed, you could take a haircut during Avelis. But not everybody that's forbidden to take a haircut on a trip is forbidden to take a haircut during Avelis. You might have cases. And the case is a kid. A kid is no avelus, but Chol HaMoed, he can't take a haircut. Okay, we'll stop here because now starts the whole thing with avelus and Yom Tov.